Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Here we will discuss the best options for the captaincy for the second game week of the season. So we've already had game week one, game week two is coming, and some tough choices for the captaincy this time around. It was a little easier last week, but in the end there were quite a few that did okay, very well in fact. My name is Joe, and joining me once again and each week for this season is a Fantasy Football Scout deputy editor, Tom Freeman. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Joe. Yeah, great start to the season. Lots of FPL points flying around, fans back in the stadium. So great weekend. I thought Brentford set the tone on Friday, didn't they? And so many goals flying around, assists, and good start to the season.
Good stuff. I understand, before we look at ahead to game week two, I understand you've got some news of an offer to tell us about.
Yeah, so we have partnered up with the fan team over at Scout, and there is an offer currently on for new and existing members where you can get free entry to the season-long game, which has a lot of similarities to FPL. I'm playing it myself. It's good fun. There's some more info in the description below. 18+, gamble aware, of course. But if you fancy putting your fantasy knowledge to the test, then go and check it out. I know a few people might be thinking, why would I sign up now when we're about to enter game week two? But if you sign up now, you actually get 95% of the game week one average, which is interesting because if you were to pick a team now, you could go with somebody like Lukaku or something like that, which people probably going into game week one wouldn't have done. So there are advantages to kind of starting now, knowing that you get that 95% of the average score. So that's well worth a look if you fancy that. And there is also the weekly monster game as well, which is loads of fun. You basically pick a free hit team each week. So have a look in the description below and check it out.
Okay, let's have a look to game week two. So yeah, looking at game week two, we were right to captain Salah against Norwich last week, but he was outscored by Fernandes. So those that captain Fernandes over Salah, well done to you. You would have got 40 points for your captain there. So this time around, a little bit trickier. Lots of people were on Salah, not many were on Fernandes. But can the same happen again? Or do we take home advantage into account? So Salah is at home to Burnley, and Fernandes is away to Southampton. So I've got some stats on the screen here. We're looking at just one week, last week. Big chances, Bruno a couple, Salah one. And looking at the shots on target, Bruno had three, Salah had two. So, you know, they're much of a muchness in terms of their potency. But which do you think? We've got a lot of people asking this. Bruno or Salah for the captaincy? Who are you favouring?
Well, firstly, Salah. I mean, good numbers at the weekend, as expected. He has home advantage, which I think is becoming more important this season than last year with fans back in the stadium. Doesn't have a great record against Burnley. They struggled last year, didn't they?
But is that... I mean, I know a couple of away games in the last three... he was benched because it happened to be during a bit of fixture congestion and it was the easiest game. But yeah, is that at home as well?
Yeah, well, they lost last year to Burnley, didn't they? I think it was the late Barnes goal there. I don't I don't put too much weight on past performances against certain teams, but of course every manager is different. So if you do pay attention to those kind of statistics, then have a look. I like this fixture. Burnley haven't felt like the Burnley of old for quite a while now. I think they've kept 3 clean sheets this year, this calendar year so far in 20 odd games. So they're not shutting teams out regularly. Another stat which I found really interesting from the weekend, the match against Brighton, they conceded 10 chances at the weekend. Now, 2 came from their right side, 2 came from the middle, and 6 came from their left zone. So that is the zone which Salah will be attacking, and Trent will be putting balls in from that side. Now, that's quite a small sample size, but if we rewind to last season and we look at the entire season, no team in the whole division gave up more chances from that left side than Burnley over the course of the entire season. So immediately you're thinking players like Salah are going to get opportunities from that side. I think if you look at the shot map from that Brighton game at the weekend and where Brighton were taking their shots, it was that little zone where Salah likes to operate in. And both of Brighton's goals came from that side, crosses in from Burnley's left into the middle, and then they were converted. So the fixture, if you look on past matches, maybe not so much, but if we look at Burnley, the way they're set up, Charlie Taylor and McNeil down that left, I think Salah's going to get chances, and I like it because of that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned home advantage as well. So I think there was, in the game week 1, 7 out of the 10 games, home team won. And they were crackers, the away games. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, this a packed Anfield. I think it's packed now, isn't it? There's no more restrictions. So
yeah.
Salah exactly. is traditionally at home is a monster against bottom half teams. Salah is my initial instinct for the captaincy, irrespective of anyone else, and he still is. And I don't think that's going to change. But Fernandes against Southampton, that looks. It's tempting, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It wasn't a fixture when I... Before the season, I always have a bit of a captaincy planner for a few weeks ahead where we will look at, or I will look at, who the best captains are. And Fernandes was quite far back in game week 2 when I looked a week ago. But following that performance at the weekend, he's probably got a bit closer.
Yeah.
I mean, they looked incredible against Leeds, didn't they? He seems to be playing quite far forward. Greenwood, who led the line, was kind of moving. His movement was superb. Fernandes got beyond the last defender on quite a few occasions, and the fixture is good. Southampton have lost. They've lost Vestergaard, of course. No team has conceded more goals than Southampton in 2021. Everybody remembers the 9-0 earlier this year. And Fernandes, like we said, Salah doesn't have a great record against Burnley. Fernandes has a very good record against Southampton.
Okay.
I think he delivered against them home and away last year. So this is a good fixture for Fernandes. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's quite good enough for me to elevate him above Salah, but I can totally see why some people will be looking at this thinking, let's go for it.
Yeah, no, it does look good. I'm glad I own both. I'm glad I went Brew Yes, not Brew No, and that's gonna put me in good stead. Hopefully, it's more of the same. You know, they're both haul, so you know, in the end, it won't make much difference. That's the aim. But it does look enticing because Manchester United traditionally a low block defence have troubles, and then you get the nice Southampton rack up, it can be a monster score.
That's an interesting point because Southampton under Hasenhüttl, they will get bodies forward. Mm. They will press high up the pitch. Burnley, on the other hand, they're going to sit back, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get. It's going to be 4-4-1-1, 4-2-4-2. And that may... You get the feeling like an early goal at Liverpool, that could be the key to it. Because if we start getting to 45 minutes, 60 minutes without a goal, then it could become really difficult for Liverpool. But an early one, and the floodgates could open. We should point out with Fernandes though as well. He scored a hat trick off the weekend, but he had 3 shots.
Three shots inside the box, 3 on target.
Excellent finishing. that won't happen every week. No.
Salah, shots inside the box, so marginally ahead of him. Also, I seem to remember Fernandes at the last time they played Leeds. It's something about Leeds and him. It's their defensive midfield role. So Phillips wasn't there this time, but I think Phillips got pulled off at half time the last time they played. He just, you know, got hooked because Fernandes just kept getting behind him. And I think the same thing happened again. Who was it? I can't remember who it was who's playing defensive midfield for Leeds, but
it was Robert. It was the German international Robin Koch who was playing there this weekend, and Fernandes just got beyond him time again.
Don't know whether, I mean, because Southampton will get bodies forward, but defensive midfield wise, they've always been they've conceded a lot, but their personnel might not specifically favour Fernandes. I mean, it could be that Greenwood or whoever they have is the person to prosper, but it definitely looks like goals for Manchester United, though. That we do know.
Yeah, and I think we've got two really good options this week. Mm. And like you say, if you own them both, you should be fairly well set.
Okay, I've got another slide I'm just going to put up here. This is the so-called whipping boys. A bit early, it's only one game week, but these are the worst defences. So I'll just get this up. Yeah. So yeah, looking at this, we've got I've sorted it by big chances conceded, but we've also got the expected goals conceded in there as well. And they show that Newcastle against West Ham, that was the biggie. Six big chances conceded. They're expected to have conceded three. 12 attempts in the box conceded. That's huge. So definitely up there. But then you've got Southampton next. Three big chances conceded, but they were expected to concede just over two, and indeed, as it transpired. But then as you move down the list, you've got Tottenham, again, but they were against City. So I'm not sure what I can read in that, because they're against City. City's like kind of an anomaly result. You know, you're going to play a certain way against them. But Burnley there against Brighton. This is Brighton are the XG king, but they did actually concede. This is it. Brighton weirdly winning. Burnley, big chances conceded, three. Same as Southampton, same as Tottenham, same as Norwich, same as Leeds. So this isn't I think your first line, wasn't it? This is not the Burnley of old. This is not the Burnley of old. And we can see it. You said it by watching the matches. And here are the figures that show 12 attempts in the box conceded. So, yeah, they're both defences ripe for the picking. But I just think home advantage might just sway me on this one. But I do think they're good.
Yeah.
There are other options, though. Go on, because a lot of people are going to be thinking of Salah or Fernandes. But they still forget Manchester City. Do you remember them? I'll put a slide up about them. So, yeah, a lot of people rocking with Mahrez at the moment. And I've got some figures up for the first game week one in terms of their goal attempts, who's the most attacking, and in terms of expected goals as well. So it's not great, but Torres up front, Mahrez not great on stats, just two goal attempts, but it's Mahrez against Norwich. Grealish as well with three goal attempts, two chances created. So I don't know, what do you think? I mean, could a City player actually end up being the highest scoring player for the week?
I think that would be one of the more maverick picks, but I think the only thing holding us back is that uncertainty over who will start for City, which I think we're going to be mentioning most weeks. I would expect Mahrez to start, but we could see Torres shifted to that side if Gabby Jesus leads the line. I don't think that will happen, but I'm just talking about possible options of what he could do. But the fixture's obviously brilliant on paper, and like Salah, Mahrez will be operating from that same side if he does get the start on Saturday. So you would expect him to get chances. I wouldn't read too much into that Tottenham game in terms of his numbers. I think that it was always going to be a difficult match. Guardiola has often struggled against Nuno teams when at Wolves over the years. So I think that, you know, if he starts, he's going to get chances. It's just that risk side of it that you leave yourself open to a small chance of a benching. I don't think it will happen, but you don't have as much certainty with a player like that that he definitely is going to start. And if he does start, you know, does he last the 90 minutes?
Yeah. I just think a counter-attacking style with a fast player getting in behind that Norwich back line. Yeah, but as you said, for the captaincy, when we just talked about Salah against Bruno, you've already got two amazing options. Is it worth the risk? I think it might. This might be for if I owned Mahrez or Grealish or Cancelo or Torres. I think this might be one of those weeks where I'd just be happy to own rather than captain.
Yeah, I'll be the same. I mean, Mahrez does look like it'll be on penalties.
Yeah,
which is if he's on the pitch, which is a massive boost. De Bruyne as well, we should mention. Mm. I mean, he came off the bench, didn't he, at Spurs?
Yeah.
But again, is he ready?
Mm.
I mean, if you are keen on a City asset, I would listen to Pep's press conference on Friday. He doesn't often give away information, but you want to wait for that. See what he says about it. Is De Bruyne ready to start? How did he kind of view that Tottenham match? Does it suggest there'll be changes? See what we can read from that. And the embargoed quotes in the evening, obviously, as well, sometimes come up after 10 o'clock. And then make a decision there. But it does feel like a bit of a maverick pick this week when Salah and Fernandes have such good fixtures and such good game week one scores as well.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. A good option. So I think if you are maverickly inclined, Mahrez or especially De Bruyne, because of that breadth of points, he's got goals, assists, bonus, he's got the lot. I think they could be good. Let's have a look at the rest of the fixtures, see if there's anyone else. There's a few options here. I had in my thoughts Son. I think if I had Son, Son against Wolves. But what do you think? Have you seen? I mean, it's looking likely that Kane is either not gonna play for Spurs anymore, or he's certainly not in the reckoning at the moment, while his head's in a particular place. But Son against Wolves. What did you make of Wolves and Son and Spurs first game week? To anything that says captain Son?
Well, I own Son, so I was watching that match closely on Sunday, and he looked lively. I think he's leading the line with no Kane. There was a couple of moments in the first half where he was in good positions and he went backwards. You wanted him to take on the last defender, but as the game went on, he seemed to gain a bit more confidence, and he looked, the goal was absolutely superb. Where Kane, we don't know. We don't know if he'll feature at the moment, do we? It seems unlikely, I think, that he would come straight back into the 11, but it's unclear at the moment. So if Son is leading the line, it's a good match for him. I watched the Wolves-Leicester game. Wolves were really poor in the first half. They improved in the second half and actually looked pretty good, I thought. Again, I'll reference the home crowd. Bruno Lage's first game at Molineux. So I think we need to, they're going to have a packed out Molineux. That puts me off Son maybe a little bit. But Vardy did have a bit of joy at the weekend. I think he registered 6 shots for Leicester against Wolves. So could be a good one for Son. But I think a bit like Mahrez, I'm happy to own Son this week. And I'm treating it as a bit of an audition for game week 3 when I may well look to captain him, which we'll talk about in next week's video when they play Watford. So I'm happy to own this week and have him. See how he gets on.
Now, Villa fan. Villa against Newcastle. We just put the slide up, didn't we, about the whipping boys. Newcastle were absolutely taken apart by West Ham in terms of their defence. Aston Villa, they've probably taken a little while to gel post-Grealish, but Ings, main man up top. On penalties, sort of, we think, as well. So he looks, I'm really happy to own Danny Ings here. And Danny Ings against Newcastle, that looks quite a maverick captaincy shout.
I mean, it's a good fixture, isn't it? Mm. I mean, Newcastle looked open at the weekend. They played with their wing-backs, Murphy and Ritchie. And as good as they are going forward, it leaves them open. For Villa, so disappointing at the weekend. We were just caught out on the counter-attack time and time again. So open. I mean, Ings, he scored the penalty, what was it, on 97 minutes? But that was his first shot of the game. That was his only shot of the game. Which tells you about the lack of service we couldn't create. Buendia was completely anonymous. We did improve once we made some subs in the second half. Leon Bailey came on. Traore came on. Jacob Ramsey as well. We changed formation to a 4-3-3. We improved.
Do you think Watkins will be back for this as well? Because,
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, that was another thing we missed. We didn't press the Watford back line at all, and that is something which Watkins is so good at. So having him in next to suggest we might see a change of shape, we might see a 4-4-2, possibly. So again, I like it. You know, Ings it's not a bad shout, but we're not really basing it on anything we've seen on the pitch so far. It's as much about the opposition, I suppose.
I was just laughing because one of the comments in the chat sometimes it distracts me, but from Bongo Bongo, who says Ings could be dropped for Watkins. I'm not sure what that's based on. It's just seeing one game and then the Villa management escape. Well, I've seen enough of things. Off you go.
Yeah, no, I think Smith will want to get them both on the pitch. They haven't, you know, he has been brought in to play week in, week out, and getting those two to click up front is really important for our prospects this season. So I think that if Watkins is fit, he'll come back in, but he'll be alongside Ings rather than in place of him. You also mentioned the penalty thing, Joe, as well.
Yeah. Now,
El Ghazi, if he's on the pitch, seems to be our number one taker. Mm. He was taken off at the weekend, so then Ings took them on. I don't think El Ghazi will start this weekend. I think that Bailey did enough to maybe replace him. So that is another thing which counts for Ings, which suggests that he might be on penalties from the off at the weekend. And the fixture's there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Ings and Son were the two I picked out as sort of the Mavericks' choice, the Mavericks, if you don't want to go for a City option. But was it looking at the fixtures here? Anyone else stand out as a captaincy shout?
Well, we should mention Lukaku.
Oh yeah, he's back.
yeah. So he is meant to start training today with Chelsea. Start this afternoon or this morning, I believe. So we'll await seeing some pictures from that to check that it's actually happened. But Tuchel spoke after the Palace game at the weekend, saying he wanted to get Lukaku on the pitch as soon as possible, as you would with somebody who costs that much. He talked about possibly in the future changing shape to go with two strikers. I don't think that'll happen immediately, but I think he could start. And we saw how Tony bullied that Arsenal back line on Friday night. And if you're watching that and you're thinking Lukaku could play a similar role to that, Ben White and Pablo Mari on Friday, they couldn't cope with the physicality.
But I mean, Ben White is not a big centre back, and I get the fee. I mean, he's a young player; he's 50 million, but he needs a more a more of a sort of John Terry, Rio Ferdinand, whatever. He needs a more experienced, better, bigger. Badder.
Yeah, and you're better placed to answer this, me and Joe, being a fan. But White featured in a back three a lot last year, didn't he, when he was on the right side. So suddenly going to a two, when you're protected by Xhaka and the other youngster as well who played next to them because Partey was out, is he going to look more vulnerable in a back two, at least initially?
Well, he has played in a back two with Brighton, because Brighton's, as you know, with Graham Potter, you never know what you're going to get. So you can have a four at the back there, you can have a back two, it's usually a back three. He can also play a defensive midfield very well as well. So he is quite flexible, but he's had Lewis Dunk or Veltman or Webster next to him, but mainly Lewis Dunk. And Dan Burn's also been in that five as well. So he's got lots of bodies there. And then Bissouma in front of him. So, I mean, Arsenal could do with Bissouma as well. But he's had that personnel around
him. They look open.
Yeah,
they did look weaker.
And they look open and weaker. But yeah, he definitely needs that person. I mean, basically what Arsenal should have done, a savvy Arsenal should have gone in for Dunk and White. Because he does need a bigger, more experienced player like Lewis Dunk, I think, at the moment. But you know, they'll play to his strengths, hopefully, or perhaps they won't. But as you said, Lukaku back, Chelsea, Arsenal are there for the taking. If Tony was a handful, I don't think Tony had a shot, but nevertheless was an annoyance. And Brentford had plenty of other shots.
He didn't. Tony was a bit unfortunate not to get an assist, I did think, the other day. But you are completely right. He didn't have a shot in the 90 minutes. But we're talking about Tony and Lukaku, and we're talking about levels of teams, aren't we? And Chelsea, very comfortable against Palace. Another clean sheet. A lot of fringe players as well kind of came in then, and they still, you know, complete control.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for the, again, another Maverick pick, but if we get a hint that he start, it's Lukaku. You know, he's got to be in the conversation.
I mean, I personally, for the rest of the players, we've got lots of good players. There's lots of options. There's lots of sort of fringe players that could do well. And fringe players, I mean, in our thoughts. But I don't think, I think in the captaincy, I think we were right to start on Salah versus Fernandes. I think that's going to be the key issue for many. And I do think City are sort of the almost rounds just because of that rotation fear. And then you've got Danny Ings against Newcastle is an option, and Son. Wolves, but it's just before we go, is there anyone else? I mean, have I completely missed someone here?
Would you consider Antonio, Joe? I mean,
not against Leicester.
Look good at the weekend.
I would always like Antonio in general, but I, from what I saw of Leicester and what I saw of West Ham, I think Leicester, I think Barnes and Vardy could do well. But not in terms of multiple goals. I wonder, could be two all, could be nil, could be one all, could be one nil. I mean, it's one of those ones I can't quite judge what I'm going to get captaincy wise. And when I can't judge, I think, oh, I'm just going to put the captaincy on Mo Salah or Bruno Fernandes instead.
Yeah, it's a tough game to read, that one, isn't it? West Ham really poor in the first half against Newcastle, improved during the second and looked good. I think Antonio got the highest XGI of all players this last weekend, but a large chunk of that will have been the penalty, which he missed.
Yes,
there's no guarantee. I don't think he'll be on them going forward.
No, I think he's pretty much said, because he took them because Rice, who's the normal penalty taker, and a lot of people don't know that Declan Rice is their normal penalty taker, but he missed one, and so Antonio took it off him for that one, and now he's missed them. He was joking, I'd better give them back to Declan. So it probably is Rice now.
Or just bring on Noble for penalties.
Yes.
He's normally the main man, isn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, Antonio, a good option this week, but yeah, not for the captaincy maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. There are options for the captaincy. There's two particular standouts, we think. But in the meantime, all those that have been watching and those listening, good luck with your captaincy decision. Good luck with your game week. And Tom, good luck with your captaincy decision too. Thanks for joining me.